This is Will's Band of the Week for January 22nd, 2012. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio once again.
Hi, listeners.
And this is a special version of the podcast because we're in the midst of a dinner party.
Yeah.
Right? There's a family dinner party going on. So if you hear in the background various voices, I'm sure they'll be very jovial, good, you know. Good.
Everybody's in a celebratory mood.
Yeah.
Partly because... It was sort of accidental, but my wife and I were invited over here on the 10th anniversary of the move into the house that houses Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Right. 10 years.
Kind of neat.
It might, I'm not sure if today's the exact day, but I think it might be literally 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before that, think about it. Before that, Fourth Bedroom Studios was occupied by a stranger.
Who did you buy the house from?
Was it we bought
a podcaster?
No, it was just a young couple moving on to bigger and better things. The guy was on the verge of getting rich. He was a guy, very nice guy, but he had started his own company that did some kind of research into patents or something, and I don't know. He was really like one of these entrepreneurial type guys, you know?
Yeah.
And so they moved on to suburban life.
Right.
And his wife was very sad that they were moving. They had a couple of young kids, and But before them, they had lived in this house for, I think, really not all that long. Maybe 4 or 5 years at the most. And before that, Fourth Bedroom Studios in its present form was actually created by an old person who couldn't make it up the stairs. That's
right.
Why there's a little bathroom in Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Yeah.
Because she needed to make this little back room into her... bedroom.
Uh-huh.
So they needed a bathroom. So there's probably just barely enough room in here. You could get a bed, like, you know.
Yeah, this is
in here. It'd be pretty tight, but
well suited for an office or you know, recording studio, but not so much for a bedroom. It's really hard to imagine, like, putting a bed in here and being able to open the closet door and
right.
the bathroom door.
Yeah, it'd be tight.
You'd have to have a twin bed.
I think the bed would be like right where I'm sitting right here.
Yeah,
right? It would have to go
at an angle, maybe.
Yeah. So there you go. We like to talk about the history of Fourth Bedroom Studios. It helps put the podcast into historical context.
Definitely.
Someday somebody else will live in this house, as sad as that is, and they will maybe know that this podcast used to be produced in this very room. It'll probably add to the value of the house, though.
I would think you're going to have to put that on the listing sheet.
It'd be like if your house is where Rush Limbaugh broadcast, you can make millions, right?
Right. Let's think of a better, like, a positive example.
Why do I always think of Rush Limbaugh?
I don't know.
Because that guy, did I tell you that story that the bass guitar that I bought was supposedly used to record some kind of, I'm sure, ridiculous, like, jingle that they played on the Rush Limbaugh show?
Really?
Yeah. And so I'm like... I was joking with somebody that, like, this bass was my rescue mission.
Yeah.
I was going to, like, redeem it.
Definitely.
See, I'm getting political again, but I don't care. I just don't care. So I'm sorry if you like Rush Limbaugh, but, you know, it's all right. We can still have music in common, right?
Right.
Yeah. So...
He likes the Pretenders.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Or one of his producers does, and we do.
Yeah. So there. There you go.
So music is the common denominator, I think.
Keeps people together.
Yeah.
Did you know that you could contact this podcast by sending a good old-fashioned email to willsband@yahoo.com? And you know what else you can do? Let's see, what can you do? You go to the website, willsband.net, and you can post comments there and get all the episodes directly there. You can, of course, subscribe through iTunes, and you can download the podcast through the Stitcher Smart Radio app. And did I miss anything? Does that basically cover it?
That's
about it.
If you did miss something, then people can just use the ones that you did mention.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll pick it up.
The other way we could give the contact information is just to say we're all over the internet, right?
Yeah, you can.
We're just everywhere. We're just pretty much everywhere.
What happens when you just Google Will's Band?
I don't know.
Have you tried that?
No, recently? Should we do it right
Let's
now?
Let's do it now.
Okay.
All right, I'll give a play-by-play here so you can use both of your hands on the keyboard.
Okay. I got to open a new tab here in the browser.
Opening a new tab.
Okay.
We're in Safari here. Google.com. He's got some fast internet. Will's Band. Bam! Right on the top.
You get to willsband.net.
That's
pretty
good.
Then after that, you get stuff that's not related to us. Will's Band members. So apparently there's a band called Will's Band. Maybe.
Hmm. But how about that?
But we are the first result when
that's
you type
pretty
in Will's
cool.
Band. Yeah, that's good.
I'm happy about that.
But it's actually, it's referring to an old podcast we did about the go-betweens and Comet Gain. Remember that? That was about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But it's linking, you can hear the dinner party is getting wild already. But it's linking, for some reason, this old, well, the text shows this older podcast, but the address is just willsband.net. So it is working properly, I think.
Yeah, right? Very cool.
So until somebody figures out how to do, like, you know, what they did to Rick Santorum, like, two-hour search thing, hopefully somebody won't do that, right?
What happened there?
You don't know the Rick Santorum one? It's not for family consumption.
Does it have something to do with what's his face?
The
Dan Savage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about that then.
Okay. All right. We'll just move on. Music news. Okay. There's music news that I don't know if it's appropriate for our podcast. So I'm just going to ask you. Should we be discussing the fact that Etta James died?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I'll tell you what I know about Etta James. It's a name I've heard of, and I probably could have told you that she was a singer, and that is all.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether I'm even qualified. I would be like, it would be phony of me to say that I personally find this significant at all, except that it seems like a lot of people in, you know, the music blogosphere or whatever you want to call it, seem to think it's pretty significant, and she was pretty famous. So
I sort of got into her a little bit in Chicago when, like, in the 90s. And she recorded with a lot of stuff for Chess Records on South Michigan Avenue in Chicago, like around, you know, 1960 to 62, I think, which probably her heyday, and was pretty obscure for a lot of years. And then that song, At Last, you can't go to a wedding now where they don't play that. It's unbelievable.
I didn't even know.
Do you know that song?
If I knew it, but I went to iTunes just to see what the most popular song was, and it was that. That was first.
It gets really ridiculous. It's up there with, like, you know, they're gonna play old time rock and roll and Moaney, and At Last. Those are like the three.
Okay, see, I think
that Twist and Shout. Maybe
I was just gonna say Twist and Shout, and maybe Shout by, you know, the Animal House song.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Those are the ones they're going
to
play along with.
I used to get mad because, like, I would just say to somebody, Twist and Shout is going to be next. It would be like, oh, God.
Right. Yeah, no, I was at a wedding about 2 years ago.
Old-time rock and roll.
Same thing.
Oh,
it was.
God.
I think I was like, they're like, name a, somebody was saying before the thing, name a song that they're going to play. I'm like, old-time rock and roll? Are you kidding me? Of course they're going to play that. I'm like, really? How many weddings have you been to?
And then 15 seconds later, it came on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
I know.
At Last is in that, kind of in that wedding canon now. And, you know, so I can't really enjoy listening to that song, but there's, you know, she's got a really, really good voice.
So to the extent people were influenced and were admirers of Etta James, we salute Etta James.
Yep.
One more thing on this wedding issue. I was participating in an online discussion recently, debating. Somebody was asking, they were going to get married, and they said, should we do a DJ or a band? And then there was this long thread of like 25 comments afterwards. And I'm just going to be a snob here. I'm going to say the people who really are not music fans were all the people saying, just get a DJ, you know?
Right.
And the people who were into music were like, oh, a band is so much better. So, of course, that's what I was saying, you know. And, but
your
then,
band was like Ivory Library, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. Like, so that's a little unusual. But
no, I'm not saying that dismissively. I'm saying, like,
But you see,
not everybody can get a locally legendary band.
Alt rock band. Well, that's true. But that's one of the arguments that one of the counter arguments to having a band is that one of the people was saying, well, whatever band you get, like a large percentage of the people are going to think that band sucks, you know. Whereas if you get a DJ, you're pretty much guaranteed that people will be dancing and stuff. I mean, so I guess that's why people do it. But, you know, there are enough bands out there. You could get bands that play basically the same stuff that the DJ would be playing and people would enjoy it, right? And I guess bands are more expensive generally. A DJ you can probably usually get for like, you know, maybe $400 or $500. Maybe there's been inflation since the days when we got married.
Sure.
And a band that's good is maybe going to charge you more. But I'm just saying, get a band, man. Yeah. Get a band. You have a live music. It's just like, but I was thinking this because DJs, they're programmed in their head that they have to play all the songs that you just mentioned, right? And you could walk up there and you could request a song, and the DJ would be like, well, I'll see if I can get that on for you. And then he'd play Twist and Shout and Old Time Rock and Roll first, and everything that's on his list first, and then maybe at, you know, 11:45 when most people are gone, he might sneak in your song that you requested.
Yep.
You know.
We went through that with our DJ, and I think our decision for us was just like a price thing. And
yeah.
You know, I took all these CDs, like, I want you to play this from Nick Cave, and I want you to play this and that.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, you know, I'll try to fit some of these things in here, but no. And I looked at what he had, and you know, this is after we hired him. I'm like, I'm kind of shocked. There's a ton of stuff that you don't seem to have very much at all. He's like, I have what I need. Trust me. Oh, I know what to play, and when I play my stuff, people are going to be dancing, and when you play your stuff, you know, fewer people will. And it was totally right. Like, he's playing his stuff. Here's another one that they'll always play is Beat It Now, because it starts out that bass line, you know.
Right.
So they
right.
play that at every wedding now.
Yeah.
So they're playing all that stuff, and people are, you know, happy generally.
Yeah.
And then on comes, like, you know, some Nick Cave song from The Good Son. And
yeah.
You know.
I guess it depends, too.
Kind of falls flat.
How many of your friends are... who would be at your wedding will be like alternative music type people too. So you do have to know your audience. But we had, right. you know, we had a pretty large number of people, and I think we just, people kind of followed our lead. We had enough people that just went out there and just danced to Ivory Library, even though they were really not a dance band, but
right.
they were a cool rock band. And right. it ended up just working.
Yeah,
and
that's good. That's
the
cool.
bass player who was my contact with the band told me that, they were really worried because they played at one other wedding and everybody just stood in the back, like as far as possible, like against the wall.
Right.
Like they were trying to avoid them. So it was kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
But ours was great. It turned out great. So
that's good.
All right. There's a little advice. Just get a band if you can. I can certainly understand if you can't find the right band or can't afford the band or whatever, but give it a try.
What if you hired two or three podcasters to
you
sit
could do
up
that.
There on the stage?
Yeah, and just
you know,
have
we can lead the things like the tossing the bouquet and stuff, and we'll put in some wisecracks, talk
right.
about a band, and then we'll play some music snippets
that
all at your
bad.
Wedding. That'd probably, what, like $4,000?
We could, yeah, I think we could try
that.
To, that'd be, maybe that'd
expenses.
Be the discount price, maybe.
That'd be the, right.
MSRP is like $7,000, but we'll give it to you for $4,000.
Plus yeah. travel expenses, we'd want to yeah. stay at a hotel.
We have to be kind of a nice hotel, but yeah,
we would. I'd do that, wouldn't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm sure Chris would too.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could hire my band too. Our band just played for a dental office party. I was telling some friends that this is like it's got to be a sign of old age if your band plays for a dental office party. But we had fun. It was really fun. Yeah, they were kind of partying dental office people.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know the type. It's the office that kind of likes to party a little
yeah.
bit.
Totally.
Yeah, it worked out okay. And they paid us. That was really important, too. That makes us professional musicians, right?
What's the dental practice?
Can't remember. It had some kind of generic name, like
Family
something
dental Associates or something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember now.
Sounds pretty crazy.
But they had it at the fancy country club. And so, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
What else have we got here? Well, let's. Should we do our music news now? It's not really news, is it? It's just I wanted to mention.
Well, you know, you gotta slip in the death of the week music there before you. Remember?
Should I do that?
Well, you do that post-production.
We have a special guest here. Okay.
The door started to creak, and I was pushing against it because I thought it was the dog. But it was actually Will's.
Oh, Grant's here. Hey, what's going on? Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ask him what he's taking a photo of.
What are you taking a photo of, Grant?
A pedal board.
He's taking a photo of his pedal board, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's okay.
It's cool.
The guard told me that I could come upstairs.
Okay. Somebody let her in. We apparently don't have very good security.
Well, the security is just me.
Yeah, you're trying
pushing
to hold
on
the door.
Door.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so.
Well, you know what? I've got a comment about the death of the week thing in a little bit later. So let's just save that, okay?
All right.
But I wanted to mention, have we ever talked about the site Stereo Gum on this podcast? You know, what would you even call it? It's a music website. They post a lot of lists and just a lot of their stuff is just links. But then they'll do like wacky lists of things and little features too.
Mm-hmm.
So they recently did one that I thought was worth mentioning because it was kind of fun. It was 20 songs named after the bands who performed them. So I saw the link and I immediately thought of Talk Talk by Talk Talk from the album Talk Talk. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
That was one of those early MTV songs. And it was kind of a running joke with my friends and I because remember on MTV, at the beginning and the end of the video, in the lower left, they would have the title, the band, and the album, right?
And the label.
And the label, right, right. So, but we just always laugh because it would say Talk, 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 Talk.
Right.
And then there, so they've got this list, and that was the only one I thought of right away. But then, of course, Bad Company by Bad Company.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Definitely.
And I had no idea that Belle and Sebastian had a song called Belle and Sebastian. That's
yeah.
kind of funny.
Yep.
That's from 1997. See, it was long before I ever heard of them. And Motorhead has a song called Motorhead. What else is interesting here? The Meat Puppets have a song called Meat Puppets.
Yeah, that, let's see.
Iron Maiden.
1982, that Meat Puppets. That must be from the first Meat Puppets album.
It would make sense.
That's another one of those
bands that I never listened to.
Oh, you've got to.
Maybe.
One of these.
That's like the
we'll
Minutemen, you know? It's like one of those bands from that era that I'd never listened to.
You got to know Up on the Sun.
All right, we'll have to try this.
That's from 86 or 5. It's incredible.
We'll have to see if that one's on 85. Spotify. Okay, so Iron Maiden has a song called Iron Maiden, and Green Day has a song called Green Day. I did not know these things. So that's interesting, I think. But here's a... I'm going to tie in a little comment from earlier. You know the song Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that song is? You know the significance of that song?
No. I didn't know... I don't really know much about Black Sabbath. They're going back on... They're back together. They're going to go on tour this summer. Did you know that?
Yeah. This is Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath. Sound familiar yet at all?
Oh, that's the...
this is the theme music for the Death of the Week.
Interesting.
That's Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy how these two things tied together.
Right. Right now, there's a guy wearing some kind of scary outfit walking through a cemetery, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what's happening right now?
You know what? If we had a pre-production meeting, if we were really sophisticated,
yeah.
what we could do is we'd have thought, hey, you know, we'd have identified this little
We would thing. Have the quiz. We would say what song that is named after the band that performed it has a connection to
yes.
the end of the week.
And then as this plays out and ends this little segment, then we'd go into the death of the week.
Yeah, and then it would just... Yeah, but we didn't do the pre-production.
That's no... But You know, if we always did pre-production meetings, I think it'd take the spontaneity out of the
exactly.
podcast.
You gotta, it's a trade-off. You gotta have one or the other.
So
we go for spontaneity.
But I think just that we identified what we could have done shows yeah. our sharp and nimble, you know, mental capacities.
I think so. Yeah.
So
then
people are impressed.
So if you go to Stereo Gum and you can find this, and then. This, of course, generated a lot of comments. Apparently, The Pains of Being Pure at Heart have a song called The Pains of Being Pure at Heart. Somebody mentioned Sly and the Family Stone. Do they have a song called Sly and the Family Stone?
I don't know.
I sure didn't know that. And then somebody mentioned Wilco the Song, but that doesn't count because it's not called Wilco. It's called Wilco the Song. I think you can't count songs that just incorporate. It's got to be the name of the band, right? That's my rule.
Well, I mean, that's pretty close.
That's a rule that I would give. I would make that rule.
Yeah. I'd be more lenient, and I'd accept that one.
Okay.
But we differ.
Yeah.
What other ones do we have on there?
Remember Matter Rose?
I do not.
I had a couple Matter Rose albums. It says there's a song called Matter Rose, which I don't remember. Apparently the Ramones had a song called Ramones. Is that right? That was a Motorhead song. Or is that Motorhead covering the Ramones? I don't know. Well, I've got one album by Matter Rose. It does not have a song called Matter Rose on it. That was a pretty good album, though. That was from 1994. You didn't listen to music in the 90s, Barrett. That's why you don't
know. No, I mean, in the 90s, I was into... I listened to a lot of music.
But you went back to old stuff.
I listened to 80s music.
Because you were totally dissatisfied.
That's it. Right.
Yeah.
We've gone over this, yeah. but that's a, yeah. that's an oversimplification, but...
Yeah.
It's largely true.
Yeah. So, all right. We've got a feature this week. You know what, though? Let's see where we are here. I just want to check here. Okay, I think we got a couple minutes here. I'm going to throw something in here, if you don't mind.
I don't.
You know what I'm going to do? Remember when we did our end of year lists? And I'm going to supplement my end of year list by... playing a couple more tracks from a band that made my list that we really never talked about called The Bats. Remember the Clean we talked about?
Right. This was like
Bats
a side
like,
project.
And it's totally, well, it's a kind of related, God, are there common members in those bands? I'm not sure. Is The Clean from Australia or New Zealand? The Bats are from, yeah. I think The Bats
from
are from
New Zealand.
Yeah,
they're from New Zealand.
Yeah. So, and you know, they're kind of maybe as old as us or almost as old as us. And I started listening to this album, in probably December, called Free All the Monsters by The Bats. And I thought, God, I really like this album a lot. And then, remember, I told you it like made its way up to number 7 on my list, which usually you're listening at the end. You're like, okay, will this be number 9 or 10 or
right.
whatever? And so I just thought it was great. So I just thought, well, we got a couple minutes here. Let's play a couple more tracks off this Bats album, Free All the Monsters. Just... give me a chance here, listen to this, and tell me if you think this is good, because I think it is. This is a song called Simpletons.
Thank you.
sounds good. So these guys have been kind of on and off for almost 30 years, probably, right?
Quite a while. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how long, but yeah. And it's just got this great kind of easygoing reverby guitar, kind of nice gliding melodies. It's just, and I'm having a hard time taking it off of my list of current music. So I thought the listeners should know that.
Yeah, that's good.
And I played the title track on the Top 10 of the Year podcast called Free All the Monsters. And I'm going to play one little piece here too, one more. This is called Getting Over You.
That one sounds a little bit like a Grant McLennan song.
I can see that. So I think this is an album that's been overlooked by too many people, like almost everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, good job.
Think about it's paying nice some to... attention to the bats. So there's my little...
Can you hear that party back there?
Yeah, there's like a wild party going on. We're missing it.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I think it sounds like they probably cracked a bottle of wine and maybe cut up some more of that... artisanal cheese that your son bought.
Yeah, could be. I don't know, maybe it's the 4 cans of SpaghettiOs that my son got for the kid food. That's pretty exciting, you know.
It is. SpaghettiOs.
They're actually Trader Joe's version of SpaghettiOs. So they're called like Joe's O's.
Yeah.
Yep. So all right, there you go. So all right, you know, sometimes we talk about our 5 favorite songs by some old band, so we thought we'd do it again this week. There's this old band that was pretty cool called The Jam.
Yeah.
Anybody remember The Jam? We do.
We do.
Do you think our listeners remember them?
I think a lot of them do. I mean...
Yeah,
our British fans know The Jam.
For sure.
They were huge in, you know, like 78 to 82.
Yeah.
In Great Britain, but...
And so we, Baird and I both, as it happens, were fans of The Jam way back then.
Yep.
And so we decided, let's do another one of our, rank our top 5 songs. And it's kind of cool because we have none in common.
Yes.
Which is good, I think. It means yours are wrong and mine are correct. But other than that, you know.
Oh, well.
No, actually mine turned out, I've told you this before, that, mine is almost more about like highlighting a specific album because there's one of their albums that I just love and loved back then and never got into the rest of them as much, although I always liked the band.
Right.
So mine's more of kind of highlighting an album. But anyway, let's see. I think I got my Spotify Jam playlist here. So you want to start with your number 5?
Sure.
Should we say anything about the band first? They were, of course, from England, and they were led by
Paul Weller.
They were led by Paul Weller. He was the singer, main songwriter, guitar player. Although you'll notice that if you didn't know this already, that you know the bass is really cool.
The bass is really, really, really good.
3-person band where you know the bass player is not in the background at all.
I mean,
it is totally like
and they're you know, early. They've always been compared with the Who, like the early Who. Yeah. And Bruce Foxton is the bass player.
Right.
And just like the Who with John Entwistle, John Entwistle was like his bass parts for the Who. That was really the melody a lot of the time. Like when you hum the song, a lot of the time you're humming, in this case, Bruce Foxton's bass line.
Yep.
And the guitar is just kind of there to add color and rhythm and stuff. But So, one of my favorite bands of all time. Like, definitely a top. You know, of all of the bands that straddled the late 70s and into the early 80s, The Jam is definitely my favorite.
Cool. That's high praise.
Yep.
Considering that you probably, you know, listen to a lot of bands, right? Yeah. I mean, you listen to a lot of bands had to contend for that status.
Yep. So The Jam came out on top. They've been there for 25 years.
All right. What are we going to start with at your number five position?
I'm going to admit here that I came to the studio with about 10, whittled that down to 5, but I did not.
You put stars on them.
I put stars on
them. You got to rank those things, man.
I know.
Here, I'm going to give you a pen.
Yeah.
And you can work on this. So.
Well, no, I can do it on the fly. That's easy.
Oh, okay.
But the one that I would have put at number 5 chronologically is really the last one. It feels weird to play it because it's so uncharacteristic of their music. But I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
So for the people that are hearing The Jam for the first time, I apologize. As I said, this is not really totally characteristic, but this is right before they broke up in 82. They put out an EP called Beat Surrender, and on that they did a cover of a Curtis Mayfield song called Move On Up. And so when Paul Weller was really kind of moving away from, you know, the, you know, Small Faces and Who kind of mod sound to more of a soul sound, and, you know, they kind of took that further with Style Council and his solo stuff. But this one's called Move On Up. Anyway, that's enough of an introduction.
Now, you know what's really interesting is that I don't even know if I've ever heard that song before.
Yeah.
I didn't have that EP. And that was definitely the direction they were going. And they kind
of... And
like
kind the of, Gift kind of was really... That was their last full album.
It was a transitional thing.
Definitely going in that direction.
But they still kind of had me with that style. And then I think he went more... Like, as a solo artist, I wasn't as much of a fan of Paul Weller because he went more in the soul direction, right?
Yeah.
And less in the rock direction.
And then more lately, like in the 2000s, he kind of came back to the rock thing, but never really to the sort of, you know, mod revival jam sound that they had. But
I don't know, you know, I haven't heard much of his stuff from recent years. I might have to go back and listen to some of that, because, you know, he hasn't been super active, but it's not like he like dropped off the face of the earth, right?
Right. Yeah, he's been pretty active. You know, and I think he's kind of assumed this, you know, godfather of put a label on it.
Of whatever, something.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because the Jam was thought of as sort of a retro band even back then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do they call it? Mod or something?
Yeah, it was a mod revival. Like,
but I don't even know if I know what they were reviving.
Well, the, you know, in London, say, in the mid-60s and...
Yeah, that
65
makes sense.
65 and 66.
Yeah.
You had the mods who would listen to Soul and The Who and, you know, things like that. And then later the Small Faces and Kinks. And then you had the rockers who would maybe listen to, you know, Eddie Cochran and the Stones and stuff and wear leather jackets. And they'd have these rumbles, you know, they'd meet in these seaside towns and have fights. And anyway,
I can
so
see
the early stuff. I'm sorry.
I can see the Who and the Kinks as being definite influences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the early days, they just kind of had that sound and moved away from that a little bit.
The album that I'm really highlighting is called Sound Effects, and that's effects with an A. So I was thinking, is that a sentence? That's a sentence, right? Sound Effects.
Sound Effects.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just one of my favorite all-time albums. So the majority of my picks are from that album. That's just how it came out, you know? So I thought, why not, you know?
Yes.
So my number five is actually the opening track from that album, and it's called Pretty Green. Pretty Green.
Yeah, that's it. I love that song too. I've got a pocket full of Pretty Green. I'm going to put it in the fruit machine.
Yep.
You don't hear much, you know, any lyrics that mention fruit machines anymore.
No, you don't. Nope. Yep. There you go. All right. What do you got at number four?
Number four, I've got the, this is the first song to an album too. The first song to Setting Suns, which is probably my favorite Jam album because it was the first one I owned, and it's called Girl on the Phone.
About me, about how nice I can.
You know, we always talk about this, but it really is true. The first album you hear by a band, you kind of you latch onto it. Because I think if this were the first album that I had heard, there, I had a lot of these songs from the Greatest Hits compilation they did called Snap. Right. But if I had had Setting Suns first, my list would probably look a little different. But Sound Effects was the first one I had, and I was just like, wow, this is unbelievable.
Yep.
So, interesting that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, all right. My number four is another one from Sound Effects, and it's one of these short and simple and fun songs. A lot of the jam songs are that way, right? Some of them, a lot of them are like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of catchy power pop. I guess they're mod power pop or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying to find the right term. So, this one is called Boy About Town. Same here walking around, I'm the boy about town that you heard of. Same here walking the streets, I'm on top of the world that you heard of. Oh, I pray across the wind, I glide up street, I glide down street. Oh, and it won't let you go, to finally come to rest, but someone picks you up, up street, down street, and puts you in.
Yeah, that's amazing. It really shows me how much I love this band. I had 10 songs written down here. That wasn't one of them. And that I'd love that song. If I was at a bar and that came on, it would be like the most exciting moment of my life that happened in a bar.
Right.
You know? And
isn't the horn solo kind of cool?
Yeah, so I think really
it's sounds
cool.
Like a trumpet.
Yeah.
It's that's cool. It fits really well. I wonder when they played live if they like brought a trumpet player along.
Well, they certainly did real late in the, you know, like when they played Move On Up and stuff late, like in 82.
Uh-huh.
And this is a little before that. This was in 1980.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they did or not.
Yeah, interesting. But
they played this legendary show in Chicago. I actually think it was at Park West. And just like this crazy, crazy loud show that, you know, they talk about 30 years later, you know, the Greg Kot and these rock critics from Chicago. We'll talk about that being one of the best Chicago concerts of all time.
Cool. Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
They should do a reunion. That'd be fun, right?
That would be the top of my list.
I think we'd go, wouldn't we?
I'd go.
We'd be there.
Yeah.
It'd be like the Jam reunion show.
I'd swim to Hawaii.
It would not come to show. It would not come to Madison, would it?
No.
Like the church
in Chicago.
The church 30th reunion, that was really cool. We went to see that
in Madison.
That came here.
That was fun.
Yeah. But well let's maybe after they listen to this they'll decide to do it. You think? The Jam people?
Yeah.
They'll,
we can have
it
like
together.
We'll put it out on Twitter. We'll have a tweet up at the Jam show.
Yeah.
It'd be like a big section. We'll all wear specially colored t-shirts.
Let's hope they do it.
I hope so.
So, all right, number three. What's number three?
My number three is a song called But I'm Different Now.
And that's from Sound Effects.
Yep.
So, and it's one that I didn't pick. So, once again, highlighting a great album. Let me just say that.
You're a bad bitch, you're down there.
You know what's cool about the Jam, among other things?
Right.
Don't you think their songs, as recorded on the album, almost sound like they could be played live just like that?
Yeah.
Like, you don't hear overdubs. I mean, so many bands now, I was kind of complaining about this with the Black Keys. You know, they've got a guitar player and a drummer, and then you hear a song where there's like easily identifiable three tracks of guitars.
Yeah.
Right? And the Jam, there's just a guitar, a bass, and a drum set.
Right.
And they're just rocking.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes like one backing vocal, and I don't know whether Paul Weller, you know, backtracked, you know, his own vocal, or whether it's another band member.
I think that's Bruce.
It might be. I mean, so they're almost like live recordings, but they're really recorded well, and it's cool that way, right? That's back in the old days when people did good old-fashioned recording and didn't use gimmicks. There's no auto-tune on the Jam. No way.
No way.
So,
so you brought up... I was just momentarily distracted. You brought up the Black Keys, and earlier you talked about dentist's offices. And you know, I was at the dentist last week, and they played a Black Keys song.
In the dentist's office?
In the dentist's office. You know, and when I heard, you know, when I'm in my car and I hear the Black Keys, like, it's totally rocking. When you're in the dentist's office and you hear it, you're like, that does sound an awful lot like ZZ Top. Sounds less cool. So
perceptions might have change. Yeah,
we might have to jump off of the Black Keys bandwagon.
Well, one of the things that we got Grant for his birthday were two tickets to see the Black Keys and the Arctic Monkeys.
Nice. So Bradley Center.
Yeah, and I don't know whether I'm going or whether his mother will be taking him. So we'll see. We decide we're going to leave that kind of open ended. So anyway, regardless, I'm sure we'll give you a report. So hey, I was going to ask you. Look at the screen here. This song I just highlighted, you don't have that on your list, do you?
No.
And what's interesting to me is, like, neither of us have it on their list, and it was, like, one of their biggest hits, right?
Yeah, that's an incredible song.
That's Entertainment, it's called.
Smithers Jones, we don't have on our list.
You know, I think the reason I didn't put That's Entertainment on is that it doesn't really have a chorus. It kind of does the same thing through the whole song. But it's a great song.
It is a great song.
You know, so that's pretty cool. So, okay, my number three is sort of a Jam ballad. Wouldn't you say? I think it's kind of a ballad.
Kind
of. And I always thought of it as just this really cool, I don't know, I'll stumble over my words if I try to describe it, so let's just play it. This is Man in the Corner Shop.
That one's my wife's favorite Jam song.
That's
so
good.
Hard time leaving it off, and you can see it's on my short list here.
That's definitely a good one.
That's a great one.
There's some interesting key changes in there. If you listen from a music nerd's perspective, pretty cool. Good song. All right, number two on your list. What's it going to be?
My number two is Saturday's Kids. That one's on Setting Suns. And yeah, let's hear it. One thing about this song is there's a few little lines in here that were always kind of mysterious to me as a 20-year-old or whatever. And one of them is Saturday's kids work at something and Woolworths. And later I found it was Tesco's because I looked up the lyrics. And then I started to hear about, you can like Google Tesco's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a big store in England, So like, oh, that's cool. And Saturday's kids also drink something called Baby Sham. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
I actually found that online, looking it up, like curious about it. And then they had it at a liquor store. And it's like some kind of a weird drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pete Doherty's band, after he left the Libertines, his band was called Baby Shambles.
And oh, so I remember
for
that.
Americans are like, what, Baby Shambles?
Yeah.
But it's named after the drink that was referenced in the jam song. So the jam is just so British sounding. And I have all these little things that they sing about that were really mysterious to me. And then, as I get older, you kind of just learn about some of the stuff that they talk about.
They broadened your American horizons.
Yep.
Yep. It made you a better human being.
It did.
Yep. That's the jam. All right. My number two is this is where they started to go toward the soul thing, but really the best of that genre I think that they ever did. And wasn't this kind of a hit for them? I think it was kind of popular, but I just remember really liking it a lot and playing it at a lot of parties, and so I have good memories of it. It's a really catchy one. Another one, just really the bass line drives it a lot. It's called Town Called Malice.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great one. I easily could have made my list. Got kind of a Motown thing going on there.
Don't you think in a better world, that song would be the song that you play at the wedding party to get people on the dance floor?
Yeah.
You know, rather than old-time rock and roll?
Do you realize how young he was back then?
He was probably pretty young.
He was, when their first album came out, he was 19 years old.
So even at this time, he's like 25.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's wow.
Pretty crazy.
That is young. All right. I think we're up to number one.
Number one.
This is Barrett's favorite song by The Jam, even though he had a hard time ranking them, right?
This one I could have put at number one right away.
All right.
It's always been my favorite. It's one of the big ones. Down in the Tube Station at Midnight.
I've never heard that song before. I didn't have that album. Now, that's the second album, All Mod Cons.
That's their third one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I must have missed one because I have In the City and All Mod Cons and I got from Spotify.
This is the Modern World is not on there.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
That's a lot of people would probably say All Mod Cons is their favorite one. But I've always loved that song. It's on Snap, which that was the first one that I
must have known it because I had Snap, but for some reason I
forgot about
it. Not remembering it. Yeah.
Yeah. Interestingly, he talks about a fruit machine in there too. He pulls out fumbles for change, pulls out a queen, puts it in there, and he grabs out a plum out of the machine. So,
the fruit machine is a.
Never had any fruit machines here, did we?
No, I don't think so.
No. Didn't sound really all that great. We probably were okay not to have them.
Yeah, I think we were okay.
I think chips and your candy bars are pretty good.
Fruit's way too healthy. So I think, though, there's a general thing here that we're like kind of their middle catalog we're kind of emphasizing. Right?
Yeah, there's nothing from...
Nothing
from The Gift and nothing from the first two.
The Gift, we did have Town Called Malice.
Oh.
That was on The Gift.
I'm sorry.
And then you had the one from the EP. So we did spread it around a little bit.
Yeah.
It seems like the middle career we're finding to be their wheelhouse, right?
But, so, again, I could have picked songs from the first couple really easily, but...
It's a band worth listening to, so we highly recommend it. So I'm going to go back to my favorite Sound Effects album and my favorite song from that album, which just happens to be my favorite song by The Jam. And, it wasn't like, I constantly thought about this being my favorite, but when I went back, I'm like, what was that? Oh, that's
a little bit of Tube Station.
That's
again.
The Tube Station there that was still going, yeah. So I had to kind of think about this, and the more I thought about it, it's got to be my favorite one. It's called Monday.
Oh, baby, I'm dreaming of Monday. Dreaming
Finish the list strong. That's a great one.
Yep. That's the jam.
That's the jam.
Those are the songs that we would highlight. And of course, if you listened, I'm sure you'd come up with something different, right? The listeners would, you know, no two people are going to come up with the same list.
Right.
Which is cool.
That is cool.
But definitely a band that, I mean, I think it's a band that people, you know, probably a lot of people younger than us, and especially like if you're not over like 30, I bet there's right. people that have never even listened to them at all.
Right.
So, who might be into music, so it'd be worth checking them out.
People that like those 90s Britpop bands that...
Yeah, like Oasis or something.
Yeah, that read magazines about, you know, interviews. They would talk about the jam back then. But that was a long time ago now.
Yeah.
So,
right.
maybe, you know, kids today aren't maybe being pointed in that direction anymore.
I bet Grant has never heard the jam. I wonder what he would think. He might. I think he would kind of like them.
I think you would.
Yeah. So, his band couldn't play it, though, because they don't have a bass player. You got to have a bass player to play the jam.
You definitely have to.
Yeah.
It would be really tough to...
This one, there's no way you're going to skimp out on the bass on this band.
Right.
Yep. So I was going to mention when we played Pretty Green, there was like a bass line that had one note in it, and yet it was like, you know, that... You know that thing?
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that work? But it kind of does,
it
right?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Playing one note. So I like it. It's a lot of mileage. They're getting out of that. So, yeah, that's the jam. So, all right. I think, should we get back to the dinner party now?
I suppose.
I think we should, yeah. The wives seem to be doing just fine, though. They don't really care
that
we're not there.
They're actually having a little bit more fun than,
do you think
than
they're
I was
gonna
hoping
be,
they would.
You think they'll be, like, disappointed that we're done with the podcast? Be like, oh, you guys are done now? Oh, okay.
Yeah, at first I was like, we better hurry up, but now maybe we should...
Yeah, slow down
else
a little.
We could talk about.
Yeah, could do a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah,
let's see. Let's think of a top 10
five,
of something. Yeah,
pick your top 10 style console songs. While
yeah,
we're talking
let's
about
do it right now. Yeah. All right, let's. Yeah, we're over an hour. We're over our allotment. So
yeah.
we've tested the patience of the listeners once again. So maybe we'll think of some music to talk about next week. We haven't yet, but you know, I think we will. Yeah, we will. In post production. Or pre-production, depending on how you want to characterize it, we'll come up with some music.
Yeah.
So, for now, I think we should sign off. So, let's do that. Let's say goodnight, and we will talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.